Today's episode brought to you by Atlanta United, proud community partner of The Burt Show. Don't miss the 2025 home opener. Five Stripes taking on Montreal this Saturday, February 22nd. We're giving away tickets to the home opener right now on Instagram, which is at The Burt Show. Head on over there, enter to win, and if you don't get lucky, you still win. You guys get an exclusive discount. Just hit the episode description for your special ticket link or visit ATLUTD.com now.
The Burt Show.
Well, we're running a little low today. Burt hit me up last night. He's going to be out today. I'll let him tell that story when he gets back. And then as we were about to go on the air, I'm like, hey, has anybody heard from Abby? And producer Katie's like, we'll send a text out. And then I looked at my phone, and literally just a couple of seconds ago, Abby sent the text. And it's the feeling we all dread.
Oh, no.
And she's like, I completely slept through my alarm. Yeah. I'm running to the station. I almost want to hit her up and be like, don't run, because then you're just going to be more of a panic. But and once that adredrenaline starts coursing through your veins, you can't stop it.
Yeah, don't run. Drive through Krispy Kreme on your way here. Bring us donuts.
All right. So, Mo, what was a highlight, lowlight of your weekend?
Let's see. Highlight. Well, I would say the highlight is the fact that I've been building a studio and I'm finally finished. That was the highlight. The low light was the fact that right before we did a photo shoot for the studio, everything fell apart.
Oh, no. What happened?
It's a story I'm going to tell later in the week. But it was one of those situations where you build everything and for weeks you're ready to go. And then the moment that the photo shoot is about to take place, everything starts to fall apart. So there was literally like 10 hours of just calling people to come to the studio to fix almost everything. It was like electricians, everybody.
So is the studio in your apartment or is it at a third location?
It's in my apartment. Gotcha. I turned one of my rooms into a studio, which has been a journey. It's one that I'm proud of now, but it's a little harder than I anticipated it to be.
Gotcha. Cassie, highlight, low light from the weekend.
See, low light was probably just yesterday was laundry day. So much laundry. The never ending laundry. That's what I sing to myself every single time because it makes me feel better.
Have to go to a laundromat?
I do. And I felt guilty because I used half of the washers in there yesterday. We had a lot. But the highlight was the Atlanta United block party was on Saturday. So even though the weather, blew, it was at Old Fourth Ward Skate Park. And I took the kids down and they all started playing soccer along with Asa, Bert's girlfriend's son, with a bunch of 20-something old dudes with neck tattoos. And these guys were just kicking the ball around, and then, the kids kind of got in on it. And they were playing with the kids, and then they played keep away. And it was, honestly, I did not expect, a really cool hip 20-something to spend 30 minutes playing soccer with 5-year-olds and let 12 of them did.
Oh,
it was really cool, actually.
See, highlight, low light. I don't know what this says about my weekend, but the low light is a little more prevalent than the highlight. I don't know what was, I don't know if it was a full moon. I don't know what was in the air. I don't know if something's in retrograde, but
everything is in retrograde right now.
Jimmy was going through it yesterday. We had not one, but two tantrums.
Uh-oh.
And they were gnarly ones at that. Bart was, and we even had a babysitter for the early part of the day. So, we had help yesterday because we were trying to get stuff done before we leave for, Bert's big adventure this week, which is our nonprofit. We take kids with chronic and terminal illness to Disney World, and we actually fly out on Thursday. So just trying to get a bunch of stuff done. But I don't know what happened to that kid, but he literally, lost his friggin' mind. So that was definitely a low light.
Oh, man.
Had him seen him, thank goodness it's far and few between.
I was about to say, does this just happen time to time and you kind of got to let it be what it is?
It is rare. And so I chalk it up, at least what I told myself, especially when he was an infant and a baby, when they got super cranky, it meant that they were going through a leap. And I don't know if you remember me talking about leaps, but it means they're learning something new. Mm-hmm. And so they're grasping a new concept or something like that. So I was like, he's just really smart and he's learning something new, which is why he's acting like an a-hole.
I got cousins that be learning a lot.
Right? Well, after your brain's fully developed, that doesn't count anymore.
Exactly.
It's only when you're little. That's what I'm telling myself to make myself feel better.
I just cry into a glass of wine.
I did. I texted my husband and I'm like, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I'm fraying at the edges. So, you know, if you could expedite getting home, that would be great. And for some reason, and it's not for some reason, there is like a scientific reasoning behind it. Kids act out more around their moms than they do anybody else. And it's just because we're their safe space and they feel like they can, which sucks because we're the ones that love them the most right beside their dad. But for some reason, they feel the need to lash out at us.
No, it's so bad. And it gets so overwhelming that like my husband and I have a code word now so I can tap out. It's parlay. Yeah, like the pirates, like Pirates of the Caribbean. But parlay either means I'm being a little biatch and I need you to like tap in so I can go lock myself in a room somewhere because I'm about to snap. Or it means you're being a little bee and you need to check out. So if one of us says it, we're just, you have to respect the parlay. You cannot question it.
Oh, wow.
It is just an odd, it's a safe word except for parenting. Parlay, and you either leave or I point to the, like you point to the person who needs to leave.
So you can call the other person out too?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
But you can, the deal with parlay is you can only use it when it's absolutely necessary. It is not a weapon to be wielded. So it has to be true to the situation, and the other person just has to accept it.
Ooh. And then my highlight was a cup of cappuccino.
That was your highlight from the weekend, was a cup of coffee?
You gotta have a different highlight.
No, it really was. So that's now my, like, my special treat, and I found a new coffee spot.
Oh.
Because, like, my go-to is closed on Sundays and Mondays. So I was, it's a place called Perk. And it's there kind of off Roswell Road and Wyuka, I do believe. And it has a very colorful outside to it. And I was like, I had my book because I'm reading the Throne of Glass series. So I had my book and I had some time before. I had like 30 minutes before going to an appointment. And I was like, I searched and I'm like, oh, Perk. Never heard of this place. So I walked in. I ordered a cappuccino. It was so flavorful and so frothy and so perfect. And I sat there and read a couple chapters of my book with a cappuccino. And let me tell you, as a mother of a toddler going through some S, that was the highlight of my weekend.
Okay, I'm not fighting it. I get it now.
Don't take it away from me.
Makes perfect sense.
Literally a sip of cappuccino was my highlight.
The Burt Show.
Yeah, so Abby's not here because she overslept, so we're not doing that. All right, so. And Burt's not here, and this was specifically for him, but I'm going to go ahead and share with you guys anyway. So Burt has been lamenting that his Instagram algorithm is a little on the negative side.
It's terrible. I can't open any social media network without getting instantly depressed.
Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, I do get some of that stuff, but I do, I'm oddly proud of what I've curated on Instagram because I typically am laughing my butt off and I'm constantly sending out memes and stuff like that to my friends. Apparently they call that pebbling. So is it penguins who do this?
Yes. Yep.
So penguins will do pebbling where they bring little like treats to you or whatever to as a way of thanks. And those are my memes, are my little treats that I send to people. So I pebble people all the time. So in order to like save Burt's Instagram algorithm, if you two have found yourself like in this lull, and not even a lull, but you feel like your cortisol rise every time you log into social media because it's always doom and gloom, check out some of these people, okay? So, Mo, I know you weren't a fan of The Office, right? You didn't watch it?
It's not that I wasn't a fan. Yeah. I just never even attempted to watch it.
Gotcha. Cassie, I know you are a fan of The Office. So, as am I, at Office Bloopers and at The Office Fails. So, any type of blooper always makes me smile, and at The Office Fails are just office memes. So, I follow those, and they never fail to make me laugh.
Okay.
Then there's one called at Unspirational. So it's not inspirational, it's unspirational. So it'll basically tell you what's the point of hanging in there, just go ahead and fall to your demise.
But that's my kind of humor.
Right? And but it's behind like these beautiful photographs and there'll be like a, you know, a picture of Mount Kilimanjaro and it'll just be like, hey, you suck. You can never attempt this. Don't even try.
Okay.
So it's silly stuff like that. And then I have one called at SB Mowing. All right. I love following this guy. So he goes around and he mows and weed eats people's yards for free.
I've seen this guy.
I adore him so much. So he, like, he'll get leads from neighbors and stuff like that. But typically, it's an abandoned house. And so he does it for the neighborhood. And he does it for the neighbors. And he does it all for free. So if you just, like, follow his channel, that's how he's able to keep doing this. And it is, like, mesmerizing. There is an ASMR aspect to it as far as watching him. Because he'll set up the camera and you can see, like, the whole process. And then afterwards, he'll do the before and after photos. But there was a sweet little old lady that he helped out recently, and she was absolutely precious. I think we have a little bit of her.
How long has it been like this?
Well, I've been a month trying to get someone to come mow.
Oh, yeah, and you haven't been able to get anybody?
No.
And see all these cracks?
Yes.
What if I cleaned all those up for you?
Yes.
And then I can clean up this sidewalk real good and get you a little area where you can get into your car a little bit easier.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
So I can mow all this.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll do that. And then, yeah, I'll do the entire backyard, whatever you need. I'll do it for free. I won't charge you a penny.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I'll get it looking like a whole different property. Does that sound good?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so there was something about her that just warmed people's hearts, right? And because she was there living by herself and she was trying to call the city, because she said she wouldn't get fined. She's trying to call the city to get people out there and couldn't do it. There was something about this sweet little old lady that just captured people's hearts. This particular video of his went viral. So he started a GoFundMe because he wanted to put like some, you know, new stairs, ramps, stuff like that to make it like, you know, more accessible. Guess how much money the SB Mowing fam raised for this sweet little old lady?
How much?
$550,000.
What?
So if you want your day made, go to SB Mowing's page and go look at the video of him telling her that they raised $550,000 for her. So he's putting it in a trust for her so nobody can have access to it. Like, it's
nice.
They're working it so that that's her money and nobody can come in and take advantage of her. And then they're going to use it to do like different things around the house and just make it more accessible for her. But I mean, talk about a feel good of the year. And she's just, oh my gosh, she's so precious. And that's the reason why she went viral.
That's beautiful.
The Burt Show.
Welcome, Abby. How you feeling?
Oh, my God. There is no wake-up call quite like the adrenaline rush of going, there is no physically possible way for me to get to work on time. That was, I'll be honest with you, that was objectively terrible. And yep. I never want that to happen again.
Is that your first time that happening with the Burt Show?
I think my first time missing work ever.
Really?
And I don't know. I have a very specific alarm system. My first is that I have a cat. And normally she starts making biscuits on me around 4 a.m. So normally I'm already kind of getting out of REM sleep, but I locked them out. So now I have only two alarms. I have my hatch alarm, which is my sunrise alarm, which typically like gets me up to the tune of like some tweeting birds. And then I have my phone alarm, which is like the annoying one that says, okay, you actually need to get up. And none of them went off this morning. I woke up and I'm like, that's weird. It says 5:55. That's not what it normally says. And I immediately sent a text and I was like, I don't care what I have to do. I will be there as soon as possible, knowing I was probably going to miss the first break. But yeah, that was not fun.
Well, you're here now.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And are you ready to get a fly swatter, electric fly swatter to the hand?
This will be the second worst wake up call of my morning.
All right. So fly swatter facts. This is going to be our Black History Month edition. So what I have done is taken what Bert wanted was just like, you know, some fun facts and we get to, you know, learn something new on the Burt Show and try to make ourselves somewhat intelligent and turn it into a little bit of game of stupid, because you know that's what I do. So I have an electric fly swatter here. So you can my electric fly swatter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all gonna go around the room and we're gonna share a fun fact, pose it in the way of a question. And if nobody can answer your fun fact, then you're in the clear. But if somebody else in the room knows the answer, then that means you have to get electrocuted by the fly swatter.
Okay.
Now, last time, the only person was Bert, because you pretty much guessed what his was. Like, ketchup was used to, like fix
something
bubble guts
medicine.
Or something. Yeah.
Some with gas and medicine.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so this time I'm changing the rules a little bit, but I have a new rule. This needs to be something that was already in the crevasses of your mind.
Okay,
so it could
where is it?
Crevasses.
Okay, thank you.
In the crevasses, back in them crevices, way far back there. So this has to be something you already knew. I felt like it was too easy for us to like just Google or ChatGPT a random fact, and it made it a little more difficult. So this is something that you are proud that you know that you don't think anybody else knows.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So for Black History Month, I think it would be rude if I didn't let Mo go first.
Actually.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. In 1966, who invented the very first home security system?
Oh, in 1966. Ooh. Like, that's going to help me repeat the year that it happened.
The first time around, I didn't feel so bad when I didn't know them. Now I feel really bad.
Yeah.
Imagine how I'm going to feel.
It invented the first home security system. I have no idea.
I don't know, so I'm just going to say Denzel Washington.
You was better off saying I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm safe?
No more guesses? Cassie, do you have any idea?
Nope. No idea.
Okay, perfect. Her name is Mary Van Britten Brown.
I love it.
And I believe it was a peephole, a camera, and something else. That's all I remember in my crevices. But yeah, she was the first one to do it.
Okay, pop off queen.
All right.
Thank you for making me feel safe at night.
Right. Okay, so Abby, is yours?
Do you know which Hollywood starlet called up a famous celeb club specifically and said, I will sit front row every single night if you let Ella Fitzgerald perform?
Ooh. Ooh-hoo.
Marilyn Monroe.
Uh-huh. Oh, no!
I'm like, yeah, you got it, girl. Look at you knowing your history.
Yeah, time to get shocked.
Have I not suffered enough?
If we need to wake you up. So I've actually seen that on Instagram several times. It's come through my feed, and not even just during Black History Month. But I love that they forged this beautiful friendship. And
yes.
But I'll let you take it.
Yeah. It was a fun episode of Drunk History.
Yeah.
Basically, this club was really popular for celebrities, and they wouldn't let her perform because, you know, racism. So Marilyn was like, well, I love her music. I'm like a big fan. I think she's so incredible. So she's like, I will sit front row. Every time you book her, I will sit there. And Ella Fitzgerald has been quoted saying, like, I really owe a big debt to her because she helped me get my foot in the door of these places that helped her become who she would later, you know, the big star that she'd become.
All right.
Never knew that.
No! All right, so.
Shocking information.
So you just stick your finger out.
I know, I'm scared.
Yep. It's on?
Yep. So we gotta put it.
Okay.
Bring this mic up.
I'm going to put my mouth away from the mic.
Yeah, in case you scream.
All right.
Okay, so, I'm going to scream.
Right, here we go.
So you put your finger out. I'm going to tap it, okay?
Okay.
Because you have to get a little bit of a...
little zap.
Yeah, ready? Okay. One, two.
Nope. 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 Nope.
Wow, did you guys buy this fly spotter from Temu?
What is this? Is it on?
Yes,
it's on. Charged?
Okay, you do it.
Try to lick it.
Oh my God, I'm scared.
What is happening?
She
is permanently, she has a finger just on it now.
God is real.
Yo, what is going on?
Do I need to do like my full hand?
Yes.
Your full hand.
The fly swatter's alarm didn't go off this morning, okay? It's not awake yet.
Oh, there's. Hey! Here we go.
Oh, that wasn't that bad.
All right.
How was it?
Do you get
the buildup was worse. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
All right. So here is my Black History Month fact for you guys. Who was the only woman to speak at the March on Washington?
Oh, wait.
The only woman to.
Is this the one that MLK, obviously MLK obviously spoke at? Yeah. I just looked this up. I think this is my ye olde gossip this week.
Oh, is
she
it?
She was a spy.
Oh. My grandmother's going to be so disappointed in me.
Who was the only woman to speak at the March on Washington?
I can't remember.
I feel like I can get this half right. She was a French spy.
No.
No. I literally just looked this up for ye olde gossip.
I can't remember.
Okay.
It was my Black History Book Report that we posted on the Burt Show's Instagram page. Miss Daisy Bates.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. Yeah.
That's not who I was looking at. Now I feel like I need to look at my history sources because I feel like I just read that about somebody else.
So yeah, we're doing Black History Month book reports on the Burt Show's Instagram at the Burt Show. And I chose to do Daisy Bates because of what she did for the Little Rock Nine in helping to integrate schools there, right? Mm-hmm. And she was a force to be reckoned with. She was a massive icon of the civil rights movement. And one of those little tidbits of facts that I learned about her, because I knew about the Little Rock Nine, but as I dug deeper about her, it turns out she was the only woman to speak at the March on Washington.
Fascinating.
Very cool.
I know.
Thank All right. We survived.
I barely survived. My fingers still are very sensitive right now.
The Burt Show.
Mo, we found your superpower, man.
What we got?
Well, you got a couple of them, but we found a new one. And that's getting people to care about sports who don't care about sports.
Yes.
So make us care.
All right. I'm doing my best. It's not as easy as you think, but I do think I've been doing a good job. And this week, I think you should care about sports because of how it often brings so much joy to the lives of families who are doing good things in the world. And in this case, it was A.J. Brown, who is one of the wide receivers for the Philadelphia Eagles, who has had an amazing season and also helped them win in that Super Bowl.
He has made my hot guy fantasy football team numerous years in a row.
And it's deservingly so because of this heroic thing he just did. So we remember a couple of weeks ago when that medical plane crashed in the neighborhood in Philadelphia.
Oh, dude, that was intense.
It was rough, man. Second aviation disaster in the country in a 2-day span, killed 7 people and injured 24. It was horrible. And one of the people on that flight was a kid who is 10 years old, and his name is Andre Howard. And on that flight, he was on there with his dad and his sister, and he reached over at some point on that flight to try to save his sister's life. And when that happened, a metal rod from the accident actually hit him in the head, and the doctors told his family that he wouldn't be able to survive because of this accident. Well, he did survive. And when he came to, he had 2 questions for his dad. They literally said the first 2 things he said was, 1, did I save my sister? Is she okay? And 2, did I miss the Super Bowl? He wanted to know if the Philadelphia Eagles had played in the Super Bowl because apparently him and his dad, that's been their way of bonding since he was born. So that was his 2 questions. So he learned that he saved his sister, and he just wanted to know if he missed the Super Bowl. He asked what dad was.
So again, he wasn't on the flight because nobody survived. He was on the flight.
No, correct? He was on the flight.
Oh, he was?
It was 24 people that got injured and 7 people died on the flight.
Oh.
So there were survivors.
Okay.
So he was on the actual flight.
Wow, that is intense.
Mm-hmm. And so the dad posted this story on social media for everyone to see, and A.J. Brown was one of the people who saw this story. So he reached out to the family and told the kid, listen, after this amazing, heroic thing you did, we're playing for you. I'm 1,000% playing for you on Sunday, and hopefully we'll get this hardware. And when we do, I will come back and visit you and your family. And sure enough, this happened right before the Philadelphia Eagles were set to fly to face Kansas City, and they won. And the first thing that A.J. Brown did was, once he got his trophy and all of his stuff in line, he flew out to see the family. He went into the hospital room. He took pictures with the family. He kicked it with them for a little while. He even called Saquon Barkley, the star running back of the Eagles, so that Saquon Barkley could talk to Andre, too. So they all kicked it with the family for a little bit, and Saquon and A.J. Brown both decided to just dedicate this entire Super Bowl victory to Andre for having such heroic and brave, being such a brave young boy and saving his sister on that flight.
What a beautiful thing. Like, as soon as he wakes up, the first thing he asks is, my sister okay?
First thing he asked.
And then the second thing. So anyway, the Super Bowl, did I miss it?
Now that I know that my sister is okay, did I miss the Super Bowl?
I mean, and as his sister, girl, like, they're... You are going to have to, he's going to be getting his way for a very, very, very long time.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm bringing that up every chance I get.
Every chance.
Remember I saved your life? Yes.
I can see them beefing, like, he's like, no, I want to go to Burger King. And she's like, no, I want to go to McDonald's. He's like, remember when I saved your life?
That is forever.
That is not going to happen. All right. So dating 2 women over Valentine's Day can get a little messy. And it got a little messy for him because he accidentally switched their gifts. Cassie has the email.
I need some serious advice because I royally screwed up on Valentine's Day, and now I don't know how to fix it. Here's the situation. I've been dating 2 women, nothing exclusive, so technically I haven't done anything wrong. But my mistake? Yeah, I mixed up their gifts, and now I'm in a mess I don't know how to get out of. So let's break it down. One of them, Sarah, is cool. We have fun together, but I don't see it turning into anything serious. There's just something missing, you know? The chemistry is okay, but I don't feel that spark when I'm thinking about her all the time. On the other hand, Jessica is different. I actually really like her. She's smart, funny, and just has this energy that makes me want to see her more and more. I've been leaning toward making things more serious with her, but I haven't had the, quote, let's be exclusive talk yet. And because of that, I planned their Valentine's Day gifts accordingly. For Sarah, the one that I'm not into, a box of gourmet cookies from a popular bakery and a simple generic Valentine's card. Just something casual to acknowledge the day without leading her on. And for Jessica, the one I actually want to pursue seriously, a luxury flower arrangement and a high-end designer perfume gift set that I had shipped straight to her place. I wanted her to know I was really into her. Well, guess what? Like an idiot, I completely switched the gifts. I placed the orders late at night. I was exhausted, and I just made a stupid mistake. Sarah got the flowers and perfume, and now she's acting like she won the girlfriend lottery. Meanwhile, Jessica got cookies and a generic card, and now she's been distant, probably thinking I don't see her as anything special. So now I don't know what to do. If I explain the mix-up, I look like an idiot. If I let it play out, I risk losing Jessica for good. Do I try to fix this or just roll with it? Help a guy out.
All right. So one, I don't think there's any fixing this. I know you're not technically doing anything wrong because you're not exclusive with either one and you are, you know, allowed to date multiple people at once. I think you're going to have to roll with it, but I don't know what that looks like.
Oh, I think this man totally deserves what he got. You're telling me you're excited about a woman. You're excited about Jessica. You think like this could be something serious and yet you still haven't broken things off with Sarah. I think this is karma coming to bite you in the butt for not ending things and being clear about your intentions.
I agree. And I also think that's really? How you fix it. Absolutely. I think this was the universe's way of saying, what are you doing, dummy? No, normally if you're in a situation like this, it's because you don't think anyone is the one. So you're trying to figure that out. But from what he's saying, it sounds like Jessica is the one, which means now you're just wasting Sarah's time. So to me, if there is a fix, it's to now you got to have the exclusivity talk.
Oh my gosh. How do you even go to Sarah and be like, okay, yeah, I don't want to date you anymore after you get like a $200 perfume set and then lilies that are like covering your apartment?
Some people believe in a breakup gift.
I am actually, I'm not taken back, but I didn't realize you guys would be like so emphatic that he got what he deserved.
I mean, because he's the way he's speaking about Jessica is like he's really into her and he really wants to be exclusive with her. So there you go. You found your person. Make it work. Make it happen. If he makes it exclusive with Jessica and then brings her a gift saying, this is my way of saying that I want you to be in my life for seriously, mm-hmm. I think that's your fix.
Now, if I'm Jessica, I'm not mad about the cookies because I love a sweet treat. So if you're sending me cookies, you know me. But I do think that she probably feels like maybe you're doing exactly what you're doing and can feel the fact that your energy is in two different places. So if you want to fix it, start by dumping Sarah's butt. Like, she got to go. We got to get rid of Sarah.
All right, so we're dumping Sarah. But again, Jessica doesn't know Sarah exists, so that's not going to do anything for her per se. It's going to put Sarah in her place and know that there's nothing moving forward. But what does he need to do again to really like show Jessica how much he cares?
Make it exclusive and get her a gift for making it exclusive.
Oh. Uh-huh.
That fixes it.
What's a good gift for exclusivity?
It's not seeing Sarah.
The Burt Show.
You're trying to do something good, Mo. No good deed goes unpunished.
There it is again. It's so true.
But you scarred your friend into never working out again. That's impressive.
I think I scarred him for life.
Did you really?
I really do think I did. And as I'm telling this story, I want y'all to try to envision what's the absolute worst thing that could happen to you in a gym.
And break a sweat. I perspire.
Then I have to wash my hair. Screw up my whole hair washing schedule.
The hair routine is ruined.
I mean, I immediately go to something like bodily fluid, like your stomach is upset or something like that.
I think it's worse.
Oh, wait. Oh, I was thinking the same
thing. Worse.
Like you go down for like a deep squat and then all of a sudden you hear,
oh, yeah, you rip.
And then everyone in the gym looks at you, or maybe not because everyone's got AirPods in.
Yeah. True. Much rather have any one of those things happen to me than what happened to him.
Really?
Oh my God. In the gym this weekend. Yes.
Did he get his period? Did he bleed on his leggings?
I think he would have preferred that as well.
Wait. Because whenever I see these like gym fails, you want to make sure the person's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can't help but laugh.
That's exactly what happened.
I don't want to ruin this for you.
That's exactly what happened.
Did it involve a treadmill?
Yes, it did.
Oh, no.
Yes, it did.
How do you always know?
I don't know.
So I never thought of this happening in the gym. I don't know why I never even considered it. Never thought it would be a problem. But boy, did it become a problem this weekend. So, good friend of mine who has been wanting to get in the gym for a long time, for a very long time. And he's dibbled and dabbled a little bit, but he's just never committed to the bit. And he comes to me in recent times and he's like, yo, I met someone and I really want to take my workout routine more seriously. So I'm like, that's awesome. Whatever motivates you, whatever gets you there, let's do it. And so he calls me and he says the next time, because I was actually in a slump myself. And that's for anybody listening. Everyone goes through slumps.
Yeah.
Every single individual who goes to the gym goes through it. A lot of people think you don't when you've been doing it for years consistently. But it happens to the best of us. And I was in like a maybe a 1 or 2 month slump.
Yeah. So for me, it always happens like if I get sick or I'm under the weather and then I miss a couple of yoga sessions and then you realize how nice it is to be lazy.
Yes.
That's how it starts. If I'm under the weather and I miss 1 or 2 classes before I know it, I'm like a month or two in and I haven't gone.
It's a momentum thing.
Yeah.
And you just got to ride. So a lot of people don't know how to get that momentum back to being on your in your good graces. And so it was tough for me. But I did what we've talked about doing. And I never did it before, but I finally went to the gym for 15 minutes.
Really?
I normally got 30 minutes or more. But I said, if it's 15, if that's all I can do, that's all I can do. So I went for 15 minutes. The next day I went for 20. Next day I went for 25. And then I'm back in my groove, my normal groove of things. So it does work. So he called me and told me, since you're back, the next time you're in the gym, I want to go with you. I'm not making any excuses. Nothing is stopping me. I said, bet. So it was Friday. I normally don't go on Fridays, but I'm trying to get my situation back. So I went on a Friday. I called him. I said, I'm going to the gym in an hour. Expecting him to have a whole different excuse. He did not. He showed up. He pulled up. He was ready to go. So I'm like, all right, let's go. So we go downstairs. We're in the gym and we're warming up. We haven't even started the workout yet, right? It's about three or four people in this gym with us. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. It's normally empty, especially on a Friday. Like a Friday, I'm usually safe. For whatever reason, it's like there's a couple in there and then there's another person in there and we're all working out. So I wait for them to get off the treadmills because there's only a couple treadmills. And I told them we're going to start by stretching and then we're going to get on the treadmills. He said, cool. Right after we finish stretching, we get on the treadmills. Now, I'm walking because I don't run until the end of my workout. I start off by just walking. He didn't want to listen to me.
Got to loosen up them joints, man.
Exactly. He's like, nah, I'm going hard, right? Like, I'm going hard.
So why is the man who never works out not listening to the man who does work out?
This is how it always goes.
Okay.
Every single time. Try to make up for lost time. He feels like this is going to do something because he hasn't worked out in a year. So he's going hard. Yeah, I see him going up level 3, level 4. He's like, we only running for a couple of minutes, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so I'm going to break this sweat. Seems like right after he says that, all the power goes out. The power goes out in my apartment often, a little more often than I'd like it to. But I never considered what would happen if the power went out while you were running on a treadmill.
You would hope that the treadmill was built in a way that it would just steadily slow down.
That's what I thought.
No.
It does not.
It just stops?
It just stops. I don't know if that's the treadmills we have. But
So no matter how fast you're going.
Yes.
If you're like a gazelle on this thing.
Yes.
And the power goes out, it's just gonna
That's
stop.
It. So much so I Googled it because I was like, do we just have like bad treadmills? And no, Google told me, no, that's how most treadmills are designed, that you have to be very careful of that, which, again, I've never thought of. But yes, if it stops, it's stopping. So I'm walking on this treadmill and the power, and it was like a second of, OK, maybe it's going to be OK. But I think that's because I was walking. It was very easy. Like I tripped a little bit. I stumbled, but I caught myself.
Yeah.
He did not. He did not. I think he was doing at least level 4. And I saw it happen. I saw like almost like his knee, it like hyperextended a little bit. But it didn't completely. But it looked like it did. The step he took, and then he fell. He like collapsed almost, and he hit his head on like the corner of where the handle turns into the machine part where you press the buttons, and fell backwards and rolled off the treadmill and just laid there as if life as we knew it was just over.
And it's all dark.
And it's dark now, yes. But the people saw like and heard the fall.
Oh yeah.
And I bust out laughing. I did. I felt bad, but once I saw him move, I couldn't hold it anymore.
Once you knew he was alive.
I knew he was alive. And I'm like, come on, man. Well, get up. What are you doing? He just laid there. He was like, he got up. He had a little knot on his head.
Oh, from where he hit the treadmill?
From where he hit the treadmill. It was like you can see the knot literally kind of like swelling in and out.
Like a cartoon
it was
red. Character yes. when it starts to
move. Yes. And it was like starting to move a little bit. And he didn't say a word to me. Like he just got up.
Well, that's
like,
not your fault that the power went out.
I think he was just over it all. Oh. I don't think he didn't really blame me, but I just think he didn't want anything to do with anybody in this moment.
And that was just the warm-up. You guys didn't even work out.
We didn't even work out. So, the lights came back on, I think, maybe 30 seconds later. It wasn't that long. And I looked at him, and I said, let's go. We got to finish. He just grabbed his towel and his keys, and he just walked out the gym.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
For the first time, Ryan Reynolds is commenting, kind of, sort of, on these It Ends With Us lawsuits. So over the weekend, it was the SNL 50 show. So celebrating 50 years of Saturday Night Live. And let me tell you, this thing was more star-studded than the Met Gala. Mm-hmm. I have never wanted to be more famous in my life than seeing this performance because it looked honestly like a really fun high school theater kid reunion, because you have all these celebs that of course are showing up and showing out and are here to celebrate Saturday Night Live, but it's like the ultimate episode because all the all-stars are coming in to do like their classic sketches. Like we had Pedro Pascal jump in on the Domingo sketch, and then we had Bad Bunny jump in on it, and then you have Scarlett Johansson on stage. I mean, it was just incredible. I would have paid any amount of money to be there. And so Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively actually ended up coming to the event, which I think was really surprising for people considering everything that's happening in the press. You think they would just kind of want to stay low.
Well, also you have to remember that Colin Jost, who is, you know, he's an SNL cast member. He's also an SNL writer. He's the one that does Weekend Update alongside Michael Che. He is married to Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Johansson is Ryan Reynolds' ex. So Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively are showing up to
his ex-wife's husband's place
office.
Of work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about it, though, like in Hollywood, I'm sure there's all kinds of interminglings with people who are in attendance. Because like Abby said, this was a star-studded affair. I mean, to have been at the concert, because they made a whole weekend of it, to have been at the concert, to have been at the show, to have been at the after party.
Oh,
my God, the after party. Because it was a who's who of Hollywood. But I saw a lot of people were peeved that they felt like Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively were upstaging Colin Jost and Scarlett Johansson and that they just should have stayed home, even though Ryan has hosted numerous times.
No, I definitely think this was a calculated PR move, and I don't know if they paid to be a part of this sketch, or I don't know if they maybe just SNL knew like this is going to get a lot of hits, so they were happy to work with them for free. But basically there's this scene during, I believe it's like the opening monologue with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and all of a sudden you see Ryan Reynolds stand up and
the Q&A portion of the SNL 50 anniversary.
Yes, and he stands up and he's got a question, and instead of going straight into his question, they do make a subtle jab at what's been going on in the press.
Oh, hi, Ryan Reynolds. Hi.
Great. Hi, what have you heard?
In Blake Lively's face during this entire thing, she looks flabbergasted, so much so that people are like, either she deserves an Oscar or she had no idea her husband was about to stand up and do that.
She deserves an Oscar.
She might deserve the Oscar. And another person that somebody that everybody's talking about during this one little segment is Anya Taylor-Joy, because she looks so over Ryan Reynolds. I don't know if they got history, but her face just said, I want nothing to do with this. I don't know if she's team Justin Baldoni, but I do think regardless of whose side you're taking in the press, I do think this was a really smart decision on their part to remind everyone, hey, remember why you guys love us? Like, we're really fun and quirky, and we're a hot A-list celeb couple, that I do think it is working in their favor a little bit.
You think so? See, I felt the opposite, because I was like, especially because of the grave allegations that they've made against Justin Baldoni, to make light of the situation seemed a little tone deaf.
That's what I felt too.
And to show up and be like, oh, look, everything's fine, like, we're not worried about it at all, does make it seem a little Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, like, Justin Baldoni's on vacation with his family, so it's kind of like, do you really expect people to stop their lives just because of a lawsuit?
And I was flip-flopping. I was going back and forth because I was thinking, but, like, it's one thing to go on vacation with your family. It's another thing to show up at the SNL and like 50 anniversary and do a skit.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Because it does kind of look like, okay, let's just deflect. But I think maybe the more proper way to deflect in a situation like this isn't to necessarily go out of your way to make light of it, which obviously there is some planning in this whole situation. But Brandon Sklenner is actually doing some press right now for 1923. He plays the other love interest in It Ends With Us. And he actually, when Blake Lively came out with her lawsuit, posted about it on his Instagram story. So everybody in their mind thought that he was going to be taking sides for Blake, but it looks like he may have gotten a little talking to from his PR department because he recently got interviewed by Gayle King while doing press for his show 1923. And here's what he said when he was asked if he was team Blake or team Justin.
The last time you were talking about the movie It Ends With Us, which has turned into a big major story between Blake and Justin. I'm wondering what you're thinking about that, processing it, navigating it. It doesn't involve you, but because you're in the cast, I'm wondering what you're thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I just want people to remember why we made the movie in the first place and what it stands for, and just keeping the focus on that. Like, that movie meant so much to me, and I have someone very, very close to me in my life who's gone through what Lily's going through for a long time, and I've been on the front lines helping her navigate that space, so that movie meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And it means a lot to her, this person in my life. And it was one of the reasons that me doing that film gave her the strength to change her life. Mm. So, like...
Mm. You say focus on that.
Yeah, it means a lot to me. So it's unfortunate that things get taken away from what the ethos of that thing is, and it gets convoluted. And I just want to remind people of why that thing exists in the first place.
I would imagine at this point you're Bennett. You said, I'm not in it. But are you team Blake or team Justin? He said, I don't think I'm with Gayle.
I'm team It Ends With Us.
And he's team Taylor. Paramount Plus. Taylor.
I was curious. I was like, wow, Gayle just went in hardcore. She's like, all right, you danced around it, and I appreciate your response. But now, team Blake or team Justin?
All right, an A-lister could not stay on beat to save his life during SNL 50. I am going to play you this hysterical viral sketch on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.